Why do the world's poorest inhabitants starve in an age of abundant food supplies? The world has the knowledge, the tools, and the resources to end worldwide hunger. Yet thousands die every day from malnutrition. Why does this happen? More importantly, what can be done to help end the suffering of millions of people? It is a big problem, and it will get larger in coming years. Join us on Beyond Today as we look at world hunger and what, if anything, you can do to help.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Have you ever had anyone come up to you and ask for money to buy food? What was your reaction? Did you feel uncomfortable? Did you think the request to be a fraud, that perhaps you were getting ripped off? Did you feel uncomfortable that your space was being invaded by someone not quite like you, and you just wanted to move away from the moment and the person? There was really nothing, after all, that you could really do about that. You know, when I was a boy at home, I can remember people coming to our door and asking for food. Usually it would be a man who definitely looked down on his luck. Actually, they never really asked for direct food, handouts, or money. They would usually ask if they could perform some work on the house in exchange for a meal. My mother never turned away any request by someone knocking on our door. What she would do was to offer them a sandwich, since there was really no work needed to be done, but she always had compassion on someone who was down and out and had a need. She always gave something. I never saw her turn her back on someone who was hungry. Jesus Christ said, "I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in." This is the place to begin as we look at the awful problem of millions not having enough food to eat in a world where there is plenty. Before we look at any prophecies of greater famine to come before the end of the age, we should anchor ourselves in Jesus Christ's statement that our heart should be turned toward a practical solution to a problem when we can do something about it. Now, why, you might ask, is this necessary? Aren't famine and hunger such large human issues that have always been a part of life? Aren't they too large for any government to effectively do anything to solve? The answer to the first is yes, and to the second, well, we can shrug our shoulders and wonder if there's really any solution in our time. But if we take Christ's statement to heart, we must admit we have an obligation to do something to help the poor, even if they will always be with us. Christ made another statement, another significant statement about famine that we cannot ignore. In his Olivet prophecy in Matthew 24, speaking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, Christ said that famine would be a sign of his coming and of the end of the age. Famine will increase as world events come together in the storm of events prior to Jesus Christ's second coming. The scourge of famine has appeared cyclically throughout history. Often it's caused by drought or by blight or floods and other natural means beyond human control. At other times, the causes of famine are all too human: war, social unrest and breakdown, and inefficient or outright malevolent government policy. In today's global society, there should be no real obstacle to alleviating the effects of food shortages wherever they occur. Modern agricultural methods and generally stable weather patterns produce bumper crops in the developing world, resulting in sometimes massive levels of food production, really providing more than enough to feed the hungry of the world. There is no reason to expect people to starve when this is coupled with the means to transport food to any location in the world. Yet, famine and suffering from food shortages continue to be a fact of life, and at times appear to even grow larger. Jesus Christ's prophecy was expanded in the book of Revelation chapter 6, where we see the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse ride across the earth, unleashing a tide of devastation upon humanity. These four horsemen parallel what Christ spoke in his Olivet prophecy. Notice what it says in verses 5 and 6 of Revelation chapter 6. It says this: "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, what does this mean? The Expositor's Bible Commentary explains this passage quite well. It says, this amount of money suggests that food prices, about 12 times higher than normal, and implies inflation and famine conditions. A quart of wheat would supply an average person one day's sustenance, and barley was used by the poor to mix with wheat. Food shortages cause inflation in food prices, and higher prices make the remaining food harder to afford. Oil and wine, though, are typical symbols of plenty. The reference here to oil and wine could indicate there will be pockets of abundance in the midst of famine. Christ's reference to famine in various places in Matthew 24:7 indicates this very same possibility. The cry to not harm the oil and the wine could represent attempts to safeguard the pockets of abundance against plundering. However, the Living Bible interprets the phrase in Revelation to mean that there is practically no oil and wine left. That would also fit with the admonition that what is left not be harmed, lest there be none left at all. In any case, the opening of the third seal in Revelation indicates the onset of a period of severe famine, unlike any in the past. While famines of varying severity have struck throughout history, it appears things will get much worse. Recent famines and food shortages remind us the potential is great. In 2009, the number of chronically hungry people in the world rose to 1.2 billion, one-sixth of the global population. A report by the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization throws a very sharp rise in food prices and a lack of investment in infrastructure that contributes to growing hunger. This report shows that global food output will have to increase by 70% to feed a world population projected at 9.1 billion by the year 2050. Can this be done? Will other factors aggravate these chronic shortages, making them so large that they get out of control? Well, time will tell. You see, the story of famine is really not a pleasant one to discuss. No one likes to look at pictures of starving people in Africa or Asia when drought or political upset occurs. But there are causes for these global calamities, and Jesus Christ not only tells us they will occur, but he also shows us why. He not only tells us in advance what will happen, but what the outcome is in his hands. Our booklet, The Book of Revelation, Unveiled, takes you through an explanation of these end-time events. You can request your free copy today. You can go online right now to beyondtoday.tv to download, to read, or to order your free copy. It's your choice. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632, 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv to read and to look at this fascinating booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled. I'll come back to it before the end of the program. Let me ask another question. Can world famine be prevented? Can food shortages be prevented? Well, a story from modern times might show us a way forward. In 1968, there was a book published called The Population Bomb. Now, the author, Dr. Paul Ehrlich, predicted a very dire scenario of famine and death for millions in the developing world because of a lack of food. I remember reading the book and being horrified at what lay ahead. But something happened. That is, something failed to happen. The famine predicted in this book did not materialize. Millions of people in Asia and Africa did not die. Why? What happened to predict or to prevent the predicted catastrophe? At that time, the work of one man came to the fore and saved millions of lives. The man was named Norman Borlaug. He was a plant scientist who led a research effort during the 1950s and the 1960s that started what became known as the Green Revolution. His work in Mexico led to the development of a variety of hybrid grains that could be grown in many climates, was immune to many common diseases, and produced larger yields. The result were larger harvests to feed the world's growing population. Norman Borlaug died recently. There was an article published at that time in the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal wrote that From the time of the United States Civil War in the mid-1800s through the Great Depression of the 1930s, the average American farm produced 24 bushels of corn per acre. By 2006, output had multiplied to near 155 bushels per acre. The same results have occurred around the world, and they are the key reason the world's burgeoning population has been fed and kept alive. The Wall Street Journal article went on to say, in 2006, the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization declared that malnutrition stands at the lowest level in human history, despite the global population having trebled in a single century. Norman Borlaug's work was largely responsible for this. Borlaug's work has been heavily criticized, and by some because of its reliance on lots of fertilizer and pesticides. There are fears of genetically modified food that have kept some of the grains out of world markets. But the poor who survived because they were fed do not have the luxury of such debates. They lived and grew to adulthood as humans created in the image of God. At a future point in God's timeline, they will come to know Him in the fullest and truest sense and have the opportunity to take their place within the family of God. Every human life has value. Whatever anyone might say, Norman Borlaug's work allowed many millions to live instead of starve to death. Now, where does this bring us with this subject? As we've seen by more recent reports, hunger is on the rise again as the population increases. Unfortunately, food shortages and resulting famines in developing nations have not been eliminated. Weather upsets, government policies, and political corruption have created pockets of famine, resulting in the deaths of many hundreds of thousands. And there are many books today that chronicle this story. This one book that I have here is a book called Enough: Why the World's Poorest Starve in an Age of Plenty, written by two authors associated with the Wall Street Journal. Enough. There's enough food in today's world. But there are problems shown in books like this, that there are problems of corruption, lack of infrastructure, government policies, even policies of Western governments in the United States, that in the long term and short term aggravate the problem of hunger in places like Africa and Asia. It's a fascinating story. It's a complex story in one sense, and yet it is not all that complex because water, grain, arable land is available for people to be fed. Yet the world continues to face potential shortages of the basic resources of food and water. There will be a time when the problems will be too great and simply overwhelm humanity. We have seen that Christ's prophecies reveal a time of world upheaval at the close of the age, where famine will ride with a fury upon the earth. Quite frankly, when this occurs, there will be nothing that will prevent the loss of life and the suffering of many. The fact of these prophecies is a time of tribulation such as has never occurred in human history. The prophet Daniel put it this way: at that time, Michael shall stand up, that great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Other prophecies indicate this judgment will come as a result of God's intervention for mankind's disobedience to His eternal spiritual law. The resulting starvation will cause the social structure to unravel at a frightening speed. The results are horrifying to contemplate. Now, that is what your Bible shows for the future. But what about today? What can be done about hunger? What can you do? Remember what Christ said? I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Jesus Christ went on to say, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Christ is teaching that we have an obligation to help where we can, and where it's practical or possible. It is up to each of us to consider the Scripture and act when confronted with an opportunity to do something. There are many examples of people and groups who engage in famine relief in places like Ethiopia or the Sudan. The cause of famine in those regions is often due to deliberate government policy or the lack of development that prevents food from either leaving or coming into a region. Hunger strikes these and other regions that have ample water, land, and conditions for growing food. But because there are no roads, no irrigation, and no stable government policy, people starve. They have to rely on the charity of other nations to provide food to keep people alive. Should you choose to get involved with a group that helps these stricken areas, then do so. You are following Christ's teaching. Remember Norman Borlaug? He was one man who made a difference. His work literally saved the lives of millions of people. He never got rich off his work. Instead, his efforts prevented a monumental tragedy from unfolding. The Green Revolution will not prevent the prophesied famine of the end time. But it reminds us the best of the human spirit, when engaged, can solve the problems of suffering. And then remember the example of my mother. Like so many of her generation, she knew what it was like to go without food. She determined she could not turn her back on a legitimate request for food. I have tried my best to follow her example, and so should you. And finally, pray, thy kingdom come. The problems of war, famine, and disease are monumental. Throughout history, they have plunged the world into periods of suffering and setback. Men and women have stepped up to negotiate treaties, feed the hungry, create and administer medicine to heal. But the problems continue. You and I can do things and model the way of God's kingdom, but in the end, it will take the coming of that kingdom to this earth to solve the causes for all the problems and the suffering. It is the humility that acknowledges this truth that causes us to look up to God for the intervention that will save all human flesh. Coming up will be our discussion with the Beyond Today presenters, but first, let me discuss the Good News magazine that we always offer on our programs. This publication comes out 6 times each year and always contains articles on Christian living, biblical teaching, and world events. Helpful and encouraging articles about God and His way of life. They will help you navigate the challenges of life and achieve a successful life. This magazine provides understanding of why this world is the way it is, and it provides you insight you will not get from any other source. The Good News uses the Bible as the foundation of knowledge. We understand that to be the starting point of wisdom. You can go online and read it at beyondtoday.tv. If you decide you want a print subscription, you can also order it from that website. The Good News magazine, go online after the program to read the latest issue. I'm joined now with the Beyond Today panel, Gary Petty and Steve Myers, to continue this discussion. Gentlemen, welcome. Talking about hunger is a sobering subject that sometimes we just don't like to face and have to deal with. But, you know, in Revelation chapter 6, it shows that Christ, is as the Lamb, controls the release of these events on the world. What's the purpose of these times in prophecy?
You know, Darris, when you look at Revelation, the entire book, what you see that the book describes all these just terrible calamities are going to happen before the second coming of Jesus Christ. But it shows 2 reasons why. One is human. Human beings, just the wars, the problems that we cause collectively upon ourselves. But secondly, God Himself is going to get human beings' attention by bringing terrible events upon the earth to prepare the people for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So there's 2 reasons here, and Jesus Christ is directing what is going on to bring about the desired result, which is His second coming.
Yeah, it is interesting when you think about the dynamics of Christ controlling those things, releasing these things. Certainly one aspect is this idea of punishment. And probably that might be first and foremost in most people's mind, that, you know, the world is evil and it's sinful, and God is not going to continue to allow that. And yet, many forget that in actuality, God is merciful and He loves mankind. He wants mankind, it says in 2 Peter, He wants all to come to repentance. He doesn't wish that any would perish. And so the purpose for that release, that purpose for the tribulation that is coming, is so that mankind will change. And so people need to understand that God's love, and He wants people to come to repentance and wants them to change.
I think that concept that God wants all to come to repentance is a very important one, and He's very patient and merciful in bringing that to pass. It's not understood as a part of this package of these other serious prophecies
well,
that come.
Think of it, it's like when we correct our children. We want the best for them. It's not just a punishment. We want results. We want better behavior. We want to raise children who are going to grow up to be responsible adults. And so it's a loving correction that helps them to do that.
This is all very serious, speaking about hunger, but put that seal or that sign of hunger into the context of the other seals and signs that Jesus gave of war, false religion, and pestilence.
Well, you know, you were talking about earlier in the program, Matthew 24.
Right.
What you have to do is take Revelation, and in Matthew 24 is sort of the template that this fits on top of. And when you put those together, you see that there are some massive trends that are going to happen that are going to just get bigger and bigger and bigger until they bring about what is called the Great Tribulation. And it is false religion, war, and disease, and famine. These things are all going to work together. They're not just events, but they're trends that will get worse and worse as humanity approaches that end time.
Yeah, in fact, it's interesting that these aren't new things in that sense, but they're going to continue to grow. They're going to continue to get worse and worse. That there's been false religion all along, but it's going to snowball to an amazing level. The same with famine, the same with war. Those things are just going to continue to develop until it is just out of control, and God is going to have to step in and stop mankind from destroying himself.
You know, what I always like to point to in those four horsemen of the apocalypse that parallel the four signs of Matthew 24, so often people just focus on the four horsemen, not realizing that in Revelation there's a fifth horseman. Described in Revelation chapter 19 on a white horse too, but that is a different rider, and that is Jesus Christ intervening in world affairs and human history to save mankind.
Which is the whole point of Revelation.
Right.
All these terrible events, that's not the focus of Revelation. That's just describing what's going to happen. The focus of Revelation is the return of Jesus Christ to bring solutions to humanity.
So we're really, in looking at all this, we are really not seeing the end of the world with these signs, are we?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. No, what we're looking at is the end of an age, an end of human control with Satan's influence, and God literally coming, getting control of the earth, and Christ bringing God's kingdom here, and what we have now is peace, harmony, no more famine. Those things can become a reality because Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem ruling the world from there.
Yeah, the world's not going to end. So many times people think of Armageddon, the end of the world. But that's not the case at all. It's the end of the age, the end of the rulership of man. Man's had all this time to deal with things the way that he's wanted to, his governments, his way of working with things. And God has to step in. Jesus Christ is going to have to return, end this age, and that will set up then the age of God. God is going to rule and set up his kingdom on earth.
You know, that's what our booklet focuses on. We'll talk about again in a minute, but the book of Revelation really is more of a book of hope, and people just fail to see that dimension when they focus on things like Armageddon, mm-hmm. seals, and all of these other issues, which are very real and are coming, but there's a deep message from Jesus Christ of hope for mankind. Let's come back to this one thought that, again, going back to Jesus' statement of Matthew 25, that if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. What is it that Christ wants us to learn about our duty to our fellow man from that statement?
Yeah, we're talking about a prophetic message, the prophetic message of the Bible. The reason for prophecy isn't so that you can have secret knowledge and go hide and wait for these terrible things to happen and somehow be saved from it. The reason God gives us this prophetic message is so that we will be motivated to be models of the kingdom. You used the term, Darius, modeling the kingdom earlier in the program. We will be models of the kingdom. We now model the behavior that Jesus Christ lived. We are now truly Christians, his disciples. We're living that way now, anticipating those events and anticipating not just all those terrible events, but his return, because we want to be there. We want to be with him. We want to be part of the solution instead of just part of the problem.
Yeah, too often times I think people think of religion and they think of, you know, some kind of ethereal thing, and maybe you think you're better than other people and that sort of thing. When in actuality, Christianity is such a practical thing. You know, living God's way is a practical way. You're supposed to help your neighbor. You want to treat them the way you want to be treated. The Apostle James said, be doers of the word. We just can't think that we're better than someone else. No, it's serving other people. It's doing the things that God would have you do. Loving your neighbor. Those are practical, simple ways that we put Christianity into action. And that means helping. That means feeding those who need to be fed. That means stepping in and helping where we can help. Making a difference where we can make a difference. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to save the world all by ourselves. But it does make a difference right where we're at, because we're putting it into action in our life. And that can be a huge difference when we do that.
And I think it's good that people understand that that is change in our own behavior that is pleasing to God and is important in this step of this process, and recognizing what the problems are in our world, what brings about suffering, and even on the scale of these signs. But that it begins with one individual at a time changing their behavior, turning to the statements of Jesus and trying to make a difference where they can.
Oh, exactly. I may not be able to change the world,
right,
but I can help the person right in front of me.
Yeah. And I think that's what's important. Our booklet on today's program is the Book of Revelation Unveiled. This booklet takes you through an explanation of these end time events. This booklet cuts through the misinformation and false predictions sometimes put upon this most fascinating part of the Bible. It clearly shows you God's message through the visions and the vivid images that are found in the Book of Revelation. Most of all, it shows in plain language how God will intervene in this world to save mankind from catastrophe and bringing in His just and righteous kingdom of peace. You will appreciate the Book of Revelation as a source of hope and encouragement by using this booklet as a companion to your study. So go online today, read it, look at it, take some time and spend with it, and then decide if you want your own personal copy of it. You can request that, but go online and begin to look at this booklet. It's going to make a big difference in your understanding of the Book of Revelation. And don't forget to begin reading the Good News Magazine. This is our magazine of understanding. 6 issues a year, filled with articles designed to help you live a successful, God-centered life. You'll find articles on prayer, on Bible study, articles that are designed to help you develop a walk with God. Nothing's more important for you today than to walk with God along His path of righteousness, justice, and faith. So go online right now to beyondtoday.tv to download, to read, or to order your free copy. You can call toll-free at 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv. Jesus Christ wept over the fate that was about to fall on Jerusalem in the first century. He knew that terrible scenes would occur within the city of peace. He wanted to gather the people into a loving, protective embrace to keep them from such tragedy. That same Jesus weeps today in advance of a period of extreme trial and difficulty. The sad thing is the world does not see these times approaching. While human effort can do much to hold back the tide of famine for a time, there will be a day of judgment. Terrible as that time will be, the world will not end and human life will not be extinguished. The Bible gives us hope that the light will dawn out of the chaos at the end of this age. It is when we keep our eyes firmly focused on this truth that we can have hope beyond the tensions and the human tragedies of our present world. For Beyond Today, I'm Darris McNeely. Thanks for joining us.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.